نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، so up till now we have explained, we've gone through the statements, some of the statements of the Shaykh, where he begins saying, إِعْلَمْ رَحْمَكَ اللَّهِ. Know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that it is obligatory upon us to learn about four matters. First is knowledge, which is knowledge and awareness, or ma'rifah of Allah, ma'rifah of His Prophet, and ma'rifah of the religion of Islam with its proofs. The second is action upon this, the third is calling to this, and the fourth is patiently persevering upon that way. Then we went through the first part, or the first two parts, of his evidence, which is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, wal-'Afw, till the end of the surah, where Allah swears by time, He says, indeed mankind is in a state of loss, except those who have iman. So we ended there. Except those who have iman. That's one of the first characteristic of the people who are saved. The people who are not in a state of loss. One question that, barakallahu feek, one of the brothers mentioned regarding iman. As we said, iman is statement and action. And we said that if we mentioned some of the ayat from the Qur'an and some ahadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also some statements of the early scholars of Islam to show their understanding of these ayat from the Qur'an and the hadith from the sunnah. Now one brother pointed out there's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called the hadith of shafa'a, or the hadith in which talking about the hellfire and how certain people are going to be taken out of the hellfire and put into the paradise. So some of the scholars who held the view that iman does not include action, they use this hadith because towards the end of the hadith, Allah says, He mentions the various people that He'll take out of the hellfire. And He'll take out this group of people, and then after some time He'll take out this group of people, and so on. And one of the last categories is the people who did no good. They did no good. This is the hadith. They'll be taken out of the hellfire and put into paradise. So the brother was asking that surely this means the actions are not part of iman, because this person, he did no action according to this hadith. The answer to this is quite simple. And that is that the fact that these people are being taken out of hellfire and put into paradise, the very fact that they are being taken out shows that they have some iman. They must have iman, because we know that the disbelievers, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Indeed, those who disbelieve from amongst the mushrikeen, the polytheists, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, from amongst the people of the book and the mushrikeen, the polytheists, they will be in the hellfire, dwelling in it forever. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they'll always be in it. That's their abode, their hellfire. They will never come out of the hellfire and be put into the paradise. This is not for the people who have disbelieved. It is only the people of iman that are taken out of the hellfire and put into the paradise. So this hadith, it's not talking in the absolute sense that this person has done no good whatsoever. Because the fact is that this person must have had some iman. And iman, and part of iman is that he has to say, La ilaha illallah. That he believes that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah. Otherwise he wouldn't be a Muslim in the first place. He has to state this with the tongue. So this is good that this person is doing. So it's not talking about the absolute sense that these people will be taken out, and yet they didn't do any good whatsoever. Because if they didn't do any good whatsoever in the absolute sense, they wouldn't even have iman. They wouldn't even have belief in Allah. So it shows that the hadith is talking in a little more general sense, just to emphasize the fact that these people did very few deeds, if any deeds at all. But it's very few. Is that clear? The next point, and again this is slightly related, in the surah Allah says, except those who believe, who have iman, and do righteous actions. They do righteous actions. Okay, that was the second characteristic of the people who are saved from being in a state of loss, that they do righteous actions. So why is it that Allah has separated iman from action here? Because there's another proof that some of these people bring when they say that action is not part of iman. They say that, look, Allah says, except those who have iman and do righteous actions. So if action was part of iman, there'd be no need to mention and do righteous actions. For example, if somebody was driving a car, and we know that cars, they consist of, you know, they have different parts to the car. You have the car window, the windscreen, you have the steering wheel, the wheels, and so on. Now, if I said to a person, I bought my car to such and such a place, I would not need to say, I bought my car and the wheels on my car to such and such a place. Because the wheels are already part of the car. It's understood. When I say, I bought my car to such and such a place, it means that I must have bought the wheels along that the car actually drives on. So they use this as a proof. They say, therefore, iman cannot include actions. Actions are not part of iman. Why? Because Allah separated iman from actions. He said, except those who have iman and do righteous actions. But Ahlul Sunnah explain this by looking at the next ayah. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except those who have iman and they do righteous actions. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they call each other to the truth, giving da'wah. Is da'wah not a righteous action? Da'wah is a righteous action, right? وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they patiently persevere. They call each other to having patience or sabr. Is that not a righteous action, having sabr? Yes, it is. So here Allah has emphasized these points. So it's an example of mentioning the khas ba'd al-am in Arabic. Allah mentions a specific thing after mentioning the general thing. And this comes many times in the Quran. So first he's mentioned iman, which is statement in action. And then he's mentioned a specific part of iman, which is action, which many people will deny. So if we go back to the car example, if someone thought that, you know, the car was towed by another vehicle, okay, it was not towed, or it was literally carried or lifted, and the wheels were taken off my car, and my car just came in the chassis. Okay, the chassis of the car was brought to whatever place. And they thought that the wheels of the car, of my car, were remaining, or were left behind in the original place where we started off from. So then in that case, there would be a need for me to say, I bought my car. And then the person may turn around and say, yeah, but you left the wheels, isn't it? Because you had a flat tire or whatever, and therefore you got towed. Then I say, no, I bought my car along with its wheels, to emphasize that, yes, I bought the wheels. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala, He mentions iman, and then straight after that He says, and they also have righteous actions as a form of emphasis. And then straight after that He mentions a type of righteous action, and they give da'wah. وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ, and they call each other to the truth. This is also a righteous action. But some people may not give da'wah, Therefore Allah said, he emphasizes this particular action, righteous action, which is da'wah. Likewise, some people may give da'wah, but they may not be patient. They'll do the righteous action, but they'll forget about having patience, which is also a righteous action. So Allah Ta'ala, he emphasizes having patience in this surah. And an example of this is also found in Surah Al-Baqarah in Ayah 98, in which Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. So Allah says in this ayah, say, whoever is an enemy of Allah and of His angels and of His messengers and an enemy of Jibreel and Mikael, then indeed Allah is the enemy of the disbelievers, the kuffar, the kafirin. So first Allah says, whoever is an enemy of Allah and an enemy of the angels, so He's already mentioned angels, and an enemy of the messengers and Jibreel and Mikael, two angels He mentioned. He's already mentioned angels. Are not Jibreel and Mikael from amongst the angels? Of course they are. So Allah has mentioned a specific category of angels. Whoever is an enemy of the angels, and then specializes, specifically mentions, sorry, the general category of the angels. And then He specifically mentions Jibreel and Mikael for the reason that He knew that certain people will become enemies of Jibreel and Mikael. For example, today we have one of the groups who actually said, well, a'yadu billah, and we seek refuge in Allah from this filthy belief, in which they say that Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, he betrayed the trust of Allah, of giving the risala to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what he should have done, Allah entrusted him with giving the messengership or the prophethood to Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So they say, this deviated group in our time, they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not supposed to have received the message from Jibreel. Jibreel betrayed the trust, gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though it was meant to have been given to Ali radiallahu anhu. And so in their salah, in their prayers, you will not find them saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to the right and to the left at the end of the prayer. Rather, you'll find that they tap their thighs, or they hit their thighs 3 times. Some of them saying, he betrayed the trust, he betrayed the trust, he betrayed the trust. Talking about Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And they are following the sunnah of none other than the Yahud. When the Yahud, and I won't translate that word inshallah for obvious reasons. But when they decided that they would not follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because the one who's giving him the messengership is Jibreel, and Jibreel was the one who turned their ancestors into apes and swine, as is in their own scriptures and ours. So these people, this group of today, they're following none other than the sunnah or the way of the Yahud in this respect. Anyway, so the point being, Allah generally mentioned angels, whoever's an enemy of the angels, and then specifically mentioned Jibreel and Mikael afterwards in the same sentence. And then he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah is an enemy of the disbelievers. So from this verse, some of the scholars actually made takfir, or they said that these people who had this belief about Jibreel, the Rawafid, when they believed that Jibreel alayhi salam betrayed the trust, so therefore they were enemies of Jibreel. Allah says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah is an enemy of the disbelievers. So therefore, some of the scholars, they said that this group of people, they are disbelievers. Anyway, back to the point. So Allah mentions the khas after the am, the specific after the general. So He mentions iman, and then after that He mentions the righteous action. And what is the righteous action? What is a righteous action? A righteous action has three pillars to it. Three pillars. The first pillar is that the doer, the fa'il, the one who is doing this particular action, for it to be righteous, and acceptable to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has to be a Muslim. He has to be a Muslim. It's the first pillar of a righteous action. So, what's the proof of this? So a person has to have iman, or has to be a Muslim. What's the proof of this? The proof is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah says, and whoever disbelieves in iman or rejects iman, i.e. he's not Muslim, whoever doesn't accept iman, they reject iman, فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ, then his actions will be rendered null and void. It won't be accepted. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, and in the hereafter he'll be of the disbelievers. He'll be of the khasirin, or the losers in the hereafter. So here Allah is telling us that you have to be a Muslim, you have to have iman for your actions to be correct. Likewise Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That it has been revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to those before you, that if you had committed shirk with Allah, associated partners with Allah, i.e. not been a Muslim, then we would have rendered your deeds fruitless, and in the akhirah you'll be, in the hereafter you'll be of the losers. That's the first proof, the first condition, sorry, first pillar of righteous action. The second is to have the correct intention. Is to have the correct intention. And intentions are of two types. You have the intention with regards to your purity of worship. You're doing this solely for the sake of Allah, not for showing off, not for any idol, not for any individual, neither a prophet nor a messenger, neither an angel. You're doing this specifically for Allah, tabaraka ta'ala. It's to do with ikhlas, sincerity and purity in worship to Allah. It's the intention. One type of intention. The other type of intention is that one has to have the intention for the objective of what you're doing. An example. The person is praying Salatul Asr. He's praying four rak'ahs for Salatul Asr. He's praying four units in the Asr prayer. But for his salah, his prayer to be accepted, he has to have in his mind the first intention that we mentioned, and that is the intention that he's doing it solely for the sake of Allah, not towards any grave or any idol or any individual, but he's doing it only for the sake of Allah, not to show off or anything like that. And the second type of intention here is that he intends that he's doing Salatul Asr and not Salatul Zuhr, because there's no difference between the two except the intention. Both are four rak'ahs, both are silent prayers, and so on. There's no difference. The only difference is the intention. So that if he intends Zuhr, but he's praying in Asr time, he's intending Zuhr, but he prays in Asr time, and then he makes Salam, and then he realized, hold on, I was supposed to pray Asr. If his intention was wrong, he was intending Zuhr, he has to repeat the prayer. Yeah, is that clear? He has to repeat the prayer with the intention of praying Asr. And the third pillar of a righteous action, that it has to be according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and otherwise it's not accepted. What's the proof of this? مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever introduces something new into this affair of ours, this religion or deen, Islam, it will be something new that is not in it before. I.e. that's not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَهُوَ رَدْ. It will be rejected. So, the person has to do the prayer according to the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed. In the sense that he has to pray four rak'ahs for Salatul Asr and Zuhr and Isha, two rak'ahs for Fajr, three rak'ahs for Maghrib. He can't come along now and say, let me make Salatul Fajr four rak'ahs because more is better than less. He can't do that. He's going to be rejected, this action. He has to do it according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are pillars of righteous action. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا except those who have iman. We've explained iman. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and they act. They do righteous actions though. Not just actions, they do righteous actions. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Third is, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ and they call each other to the truth of Islam. They give da'wah. It's the third point. They give da'wah. And as we mentioned earlier, da'wah is of many types. From the statement, from the action, by writing and so on and so forth. And da'wah also has conditions. From amongst them is a condition of intention, in which Allah Ta'ala, or rather the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ indeed actions are but by intention. So therefore, even da'wah has to have the correct intention. You're giving da'wah for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the people, not for the sake of anybody else. Likewise, one has to have knowledge of what he's calling to. Because Allah, we cannot just call to anything, or call to what we think is Islam, no. Because usually this, in fact, takes a person away from the true Islam. So one has to have knowledge of what he's calling to. And what's the proof of this? Allah says, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا say, this is my path. I call to Allah upon basira or knowledge. And basira comes from the root word basara, to see. It's how sure this knowledge is that you're giving da'wah to. You can almost see this knowledge. So, we have to call to, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to say that I call to Allah upon knowledge. So how about us? And he says, أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي me and those who follow me. So also those who follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they call to Allah upon knowledge. The third condition of da'wah is to have wisdom. And the proof of this is the statement of Allah Ta'ala in which he says, أُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْئِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ Allah says, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom, with hikmah, and a kind word, مَوْئِذَةُ الْحَسَنَةِ a kind word, like a مَوْئِذَة or an admonition which is kind. And debate with them, and argue with them in a way that is better. Don't argue with them in a bad way, with the people that you're giving da'wah to, like, such as... argue with them in a way that is better. That's the third condition. And the fourth condition is to have patience upon da'wah. So those are the four conditions of da'wah. And then the fourth point is, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ Except those who have iman, they do righteous actions, they give da'wah, they call to the haqq, to the truth of Islam, and they call to having sabr, patience. And patience is very important in our lives. And there are three different types of patience. Sabr ala ta'atillah, patiently persevering upon the obedience of Allah. Upon obedience of Allah. That's the first type of patience. Allah Ta'ala has ordered the man and the woman to pray five times a day. Salat al-Fajr, for example. And it requires patience to get up and pray. It requires patience to leave your business or your studies to go and pray. And Allah Ta'ala has ordered us with the various acts of worship to give zakah. You need to be patient. You have to patiently persevere about this. You know? And fasting. Fasting is a time which you need a lot of patience. A lot of patience. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered the Muslim that when he's fasting, if someone curses him or speaks badly to him, he said, Inni sa'im. Indeed, I am fasting. Indeed, I am fasting. So I can't reply. I'm not going to shout back. In Hajj, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالٍ Okay, and amongst those things is لا جدال, no argumentation. No argumentation. You have to be patient. One wish, maybe likewise during fasting and in ihram, you have to be patient because you have to, you cannot fulfill your desires. And so on and so forth. So the deen obligations, the obligations, the obedience of Allah requires being patient. This is the first type of patience. The second type of patience, sabr anil ma'asiyah. That you have to have patience, you have to patiently persevere against being disobedient towards Allah. Allah's, like we said, Allah's prohibited us from drinking alcohol. Maybe a person who becomes Muslim, just before he is Muslim, he is addicted to alcohol. Then once he becomes Muslim, or he starts practicing the deen, it requires patience for him to stop this drinking of alcohol, drugs, and so on and so forth. It requires patience. And the third type of patience is with respect to the qadr of Allah. With respect to the qadr, or the predestination of Allah Ta'ala. Third type of patience. Well, for example, someone dies in our family, or somebody, a close friend passes away, or perhaps one is ill, or perhaps one didn't get, I mean, this might be appropriate to mention, one didn't get the exam results that they wanted. And so this is the qadr of Allah now. This is the qadr of Allah. So one has to be patient. One can't start wailing. We've been prohibited to wail when a person dies, you know, and scream. We have to be patient with respect to the qadr of Allah. These are three types of patience. With this, the Shaykh ends his adilla for his first few matters, his proofs. He says, and the dalil, the evidence of the statement of Allah, and he mentions the surah. And then he continues by saying, قَالَ الشَّافِعِيُّ رَحْمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَوْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ حُجَّةً عَلَى خَلْقِهِ إِلَّا هَذِهِ السُّورَةُ لَكَفَتْهُمْ. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said that if Allah had sent down to His creation no other proof besides this surah, it would have been sufficient for them. Why would it be sufficient for them? Why this surah? Why not any other surah? Well, Imam al-Shafi'i, what he's talking about is that this surah is enough, not for the whole deen, not enough that the person knows how to pray, how to fast, how to give zakah, how much to give zakah, how to fast, how to make hajj, how to perform jihad, rights of, you know, of each other, and so on and so forth. This is not what is meant by Imam al-Shafi'i. Imam al-Shafi'i is saying that this is a proof enough for mankind, so that anyone who hears this surah, he will go and seek knowledge of the deen, as conveyed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, act upon this knowledge, call towards this knowledge, and then be patient upon acting and calling towards this knowledge. So the surah is enough to guide mankind to the truth. Except those who have iman. Iman in what? You have to know what iman. What do I have to have iman in? So he goes and seeks knowledge about this. He has to know. He has to have iman, and then he has to do deeds. He has to please Allah. He has to please the one who he has iman in, Allah. So, how does he please Allah? He pleases Allah by following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by doing the righteous action. How is he going to do a righteous action? What is righteous? What's the definition of righteous? There must be a way to show us what is good and what is bad action. What is righteous? This is the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, one knows that he has to go and give da'wah to this knowledge so other people can benefit from this. And then he's patient upon this. This comprises, in a nutshell, the deen of Islam from one perspective. And then the Shaykh says, وَقَالَ الْبُخَارِيُّ رَحْمَهُ اللَّهِ باب العلم قبل القول والعمل والدليل قوله تعالى فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك فبدأ بالعلم قبل القول والعمل. The Imam al-Bukhari, may Allah have mercy upon him, said in his Sahih, which is now known as Sahih Bukhari, which is a collection of hadith. He said one of the chapter headings that he had is chapter that knowledge precedes speech and action. And the proof of this, Imam Bukhari continues, is a statement of Allah the Most High, know that la ilaha illallah, know that none has the right to worship except Allah, and seek forgiveness for your sin. Know that la ilaha illallah, and seek forgiveness for your sins. And Bukhari continues, so he began, meaning Allah began, by mentioning knowledge before speech and action. Allah said, know about la ilaha illallah, and then he mentioned, seek forgiveness. Seeking forgiveness is the action. Is the action part of Iman, right? So, Allah began with by mentioning knowledge before speech or action. And in this ayah, as we mentioned, there's an order for knowledge. Fa'alam. Fa'alam is what is known as, for those of you who know the Arabic language, is in the wazan or the form fi'l al-amr or the order. Okay, it's an order. And so Allah orders the people to know about la ilaha illallah, and then later on in the ayah he mentions and seek forgiveness for your sin. So knowledge precedes statement and action. Why mention the statement of Bukhari? Why did Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mention the statement of Bukhari at this point? Well, the reason for this is because this whole treatise is one of knowledge, is fulfilling the first purpose, or rather the first principle that we mentioned earlier on. As we said earlier on, this risala, or this treatise, comes like this, in this kind of format. At first he mentioned these four matters, and the first of those four matters is knowledge. And then this risala, this treatise, this book, is going to explain this first point in the main text of the book. We're still like in an introduction kind of thing, prelude. And this knowledge is a thing that he's explaining in the main text of this book when he's talking about the three questions that a person has to answer in the grave. So that's why he mentioned the statement of Bukhari. And with this he ends the first kind of part of the book. Of the book, Thalathatul Usul. It serves as like the first introduction. Then there'll be a second kind of introduction, which we'll talk about in a minute, inshallah. But just as a last point, what the Shaykh is doing, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, by narrating the statement of Bukhari, what he's doing is he's pointing out to the student of knowledge that ilm is very important for the ghaya, or for the goal, or our purpose in life. To have knowledge is very important in our purpose of life. Until it's so important that it comes before even statement and action. Even before istighfar. Before seeking forgiveness, one has to know about la ilaha illallah. This knowledge, inshallah, will save him, and inshallah, through his da'wah, he will save others by the will of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So then the Shaykh continues. He says, اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة تعلم هذه المسائل الثلاث والعمل بهن. He said, no, may Allah have mercy upon you, that it is obligatory upon every Muslim, male and female, to learn and act upon the following three matters. And then he mentioned three matters. Inshallah, we'll go into that into the next lecture, because I think it's about lunchtime now, roughly. So we'll begin the next part, inshallah, after Salatul Dhuhr. and lunch, and inshallah I'll hand over the mic to the organizers so they can tell you.